9, or send out a ringing, send out a shout, send out a singing out, a rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. O ye righteous, that's the folks that are rightly related to God. And we are rightly related to Him how? By the blood of Jesus. And then, look at this, this verse that goes on. It says, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Now that word praise there, I won't talk about all of them, but if you were here over the weekend, you would find out that that is the word tahilah. And that's the kind of praise, the only kind of praise that God says He inhabits. He inhabits the tahilah, that song, the lauding and singing of the Spirit. And it's all wrapped around the idea of rejoicing and singing and ringing out your song, sustaining the note of your praise unto Him. That tahilah is also wrapped around that whole covenantal idea of the selah, the sustaining. That word selah in Scripture is one of the definitions, one of the 38 definitions of the 6 different kinds of selah. It means forever, or to suspend forever. So what they were doing here is they were creating a sound or a suspension that God would inhabit in such a way that even future generations would know the goodness of the Lord because of the songs and the sounds that had come before and will never die. They constantly are just moving in the atmosphere of the earth, carrying the praise of God's people, because God's an eternal God who made an eternal covenant for this eternal sound and song to be heard that would be sustained from generation to generation. And we are a generation that's hearing a sound. And when that sound comes and we respond to it and we become a part of it, we carry the glory of God into our generation. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. That will cause a rejoicing, and it'll change who we think we are as the people of God. It'll change who we understand ourselves to be. Our identities are that. Our identities are not what the world says we are. Our identities are not what the media says we are. Our identities are not wrapped up in the ideas of what culture says we are. You know, right today you realize if you say, well, I'm a Christian, that means you're a Republican bigot. Right? Because media has determined that there's these stereotypical ideas that have been thrown around the necks of Christianity today. And the reason is because they don't know who our God is. They don't understand the greatness of our God. They don't know this God that we are rightly related to through the blood of Jesus. And that's one of the reasons we wind up measuring ourselves measuring our identities based upon what the world says. And that's got to change. And I'll tell you how it'll change. You'll see it here in just the next verse or two. We got to get to singing a new song. There's a new song to be sung. God wants to change our song. In Psalm 33 and Psalm 98 and Psalm 148, there's a whole bunch of them, or 98 and 149, different places all throughout Scripture that through the Psalms, that David would introduce a new song. And what he would do is he would say, sing unto the Lord a new song, and then he'd tell them what to sing. So it wasn't like take your best shot. There was actually an understanding of who God was that came with the instruction, sing unto the Lord a new song. When he said, tahilah from the upright is a beautiful thing. So praise the Lord with the harp. And this word praise there is the word yada, or to shoot out the hands, lift up the harp, and release a new song, not just playing to give us something to agree with, but lift up the sound of your harp unto the God who is worthy. So yada, those musicians at times, I believe you'd see them just raise their hands up with the harps and just start striking the instrument. And it's because it says make melody to Him with an instrument of 10 strings. Now remember, one of the 7 Hebrew words for praise is zamar, which means to pluck or to twang the instrument. And every time in Scripture you see this word, usually, every time you see the two words, compound phrase, sing praises, it's this word zamar. Well, also, here it is translated, make melody unto the Lord with Him on an instrument of 10 strings. So that means to strike the strings of the harp. So when you start striking the strings of the harp, this is right after they would raise their hands. Can you see this whole picture? It's a part of what was a daily reality for 33 years, 24 hours a day in the days of the tabernacle of David. And when he says, sing to him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy. Now that shout right there is a bit interesting too. It's called, that shout is the word teruah, and one of the definitions of that word is to shout with alarming joy. So what David would do is seven times a day he would break into song, and when he would just break into these spontaneous song, he had a lady or a team actually that were commissioned to follow him and capture the songs, and then it would say, get this over to the chief musician upon whatever, Neganoth, which would be guitars or flute or the stringed instruments, or upon Shigianoth. What it, wild, sporadic, erratic, frenzied rhythms set to prayer. That means when you, so there were instruments that would sustain this sound of prayer, wild, sporadic, frenzied sounds. And so that means when you pray, you get shiggy with it, I guess. But you get just fully, passionately engaged. So praise and worship back then, in the days of the Tabernacle of David, it was real animated. It was a lot of activity and action to it. And again, one of the reasons is because there was no sound system, so the bands were just loosed in chorus. And so they had 24 courses of musicians, so they just loose these bands amongst everybody, and everywhere they were walking, they were just releasing their sound. They were, and after the instructions, sing, Shira, unto the Lord, a new song. A new, this is one of the last of our, kind of our Hebrew word studies here this morning, then I'm going to dive into the rest of this. But that word new, I want you to kind of mark this down in your heart. That's the word kadash. And kadash is to renew or rebuild, repair, and restore. So that tells us that this whole little episode right here is about restoring, renewing, rebuilding, repairing. All of it's about regaining something that had been lost. It's a renewing song. If you want to put it in its full proper context in this verse, it was sing unto the Lord a newing song. A renewing of who you really are, who you were created to be as a praising and worshiping instrument unto your God. It's really saying everything that you do in this life is the overflow and the byproduct of your relationship with your Creator who created you to praise and worship Him. That's really what it's about. Now, what comes into conflict with that is what you have believed, what you believe and you speak over your life, that's not always been what God says about you, right? The things that I believe about myself are what make up my identity. So, if you want to write that down, identity are the beliefs about yourself. You will react or respond to all things in life based upon who you believe you are. Identity are beliefs about yourself. Very different is destiny. Now we hear a lot about destiny and God's, God has a destiny for all of God's people and so on. Well, destiny is actually where your identity carries you. So whatever you believe about yourself, your identity is going to determine where you wind up and where it carries you. Now, another word that we hear a lot about in this purpose-driven generation is purpose. And purpose, in a nutshell, is just why are you here? Now, let me tell you the greatest enemy of your identity. The enemy of identity is shame. The enemy of destiny is fear. And the enemy of purpose that'll keep you from your purpose more than anything else will be discouragement. If the enemy can discourage you, he's going to dis your courage, disabling you to fully fulfill your destiny which is wrapped around your identity. I'm not trying to make a Rubik's Cube out of these words here for you. I'm just trying to lay the foundation for something. But let me tell you, identity, the enemy of identity is shame, enemy of destiny is fear, and the enemy of your purpose is discouragement. That means you have an enemy that is out to steal, kill, and destroy any possibilities of what God has created you for. But I want to tell you, if the enemy is that strong about it, you better believe that we have a righteous God who has a remedy for every one of these enemies that are trying to keep you shut down and locked down and never knowing your song and never releasing your song, because in the power, in your song is the power for your identity, and in your song is the power for your destiny and your purpose to be realized. Because the song is not about Your song, God wants you to change your song. God wants us to sing our song. To sing our song is to sing what He believes about us, and let that be a sustained reality that causes our experience to be what God created us for. And a lot of us start off with the blues. I know that. A lot of us start off with a bent out of shape, morbid, minor, moaning kind of sound, trying to struggle for life. But out of those people who come from the places of the greatest struggle are the ones that wind up being the songwriters for a new generation. They're the ones who wind up being the poets in the new generation. They're the ones that move and shape humanity's ideas about who God is, because the journey they've come from is a rejoicing. And it's a testimony of only what God can do. And when our identities begin to line up with who God says we are, our testimony changes in a hurry, don't it? The remedy of shame that's the enemy of our identity, the remedy of shame is hope. I declare hope over every person here that's hopeless right now. We're living in a day right now where our economies and our all the systems, I won't even get to naming all of them, all of the systems of life right now are shaken and teetering, and you know, in cultures around the world. Look at the condition, and we get to see that now because we have the media, this and the technologies today to understand all the horrible things that are going on in this world, and there's plenty of them. I want to tell you, God gave us song for a different reason, rather than regurgitating that old stuff. Our identities are not wrapped up. We cannot let this world tell us who we are in the midst of this mess. I want to tell you, you got a song to sing, and voices were not given by God. Example, for an old man to sit somewhere in a nursing home and out of his mind, just trying to remember anything. Voices were not given to children to be crying for water and food in some poverty-ridden world somewhere. That's not what our voices were given to us for. Our voices were not given to argue and fight and snap and snarl at everything in this life. We're supposed to be a righteous people, rightly related to one who has put rejoicing in us that's audible. Amen. We're supposed to live lives of redemption and renewing and restoration. We're supposed to carry that as our song. And when we carry that as our identity and we carry that as a part of our destiny, what we'll start doing is we'll start fulfilling our purpose as praisers and carrying God's presence into these dark places. The greatest tool for evangelism we have today in touching this world is the overflow of our worship and the overflow of our praise. That's still the greatest tool we have to evangelize the world. The church was born out of that idea, out of that upper room over there that we're going to be going and worshiping in. In that very place, the church was born out of a worship service. They weren't born out of a bunch of systematic theology and stuff. They were born out of a bunch of people that were touching God. And the overflow of that added thousands daily because of what happened. Because a sound came into a room, thousands started being added daily into the kingdom in a few days. What happens if we get our sound and we get our song? We get our Holy Ghost anointed kind of rejoicing back in our lives. I'm not just talking about just emotional outbreaks of everybody, let's praise the Lord and let's all holler a minute. I'm talking about something that is the core of who we are. It's a song we carry. And it shifts our identities. It changes our destinies. and it ultimately releases us into our purpose. But shame, the remedy of shame is hope. The remedy of fear that robs you of your destiny is love. How many of you have ever watched Susie Wills, Praise God, when it's really going on? Did you ever see that? How many of you know who Susie Wills, Morningstar? This gal, she is like 14 cheerleaders in one body when she gets to worshiping God. She is just, she's the one of the wildest, most ravenous worshipers. And sometimes you might say it's just this, she's just an emotional. Well, I'll tell you something. Not long ago, actually last weekend, Kim Walker, who's another worship, a wonderful worship leader, we were doing a thing down in, we were at Morningstar last week. And in one of the interview things, they asked Kim, said, who is the most influential worship leader that in your life? And she said, Susie. And she said, because Susie, if nothing else, she is she's an amazingly skilled singer and all that, songwriter. But more than anything else, she fearlessly worships God. And you will see her do some of the craziest things you'll ever see people do in public as she worships God. And Kim said, she has influenced me the most because she fearlessly worships. And I thought about that. You know, I know Susie very well. I used to be her pastor in Nashville. And I've known her for years and years and years. And I know her well enough to tell you that actually she does not fearlessly. She has the same fears that everybody else. Her identity, her persona, her makeup, just like everybody else. We're trying to figure out who we are. We're trying to figure out what our song is. And she has fear and trembling issues just like everybody else, fear of man issues just like everybody else. The fear is there. But you know what happens? The perfect love that's in her heart casts it so far from her. When she looks in the eyes of love, she's liable to do anything. She's liable to take a lap. She's liable to just lay in the floor and flop like a fish. Just of extreme releases of emotion because Susie's background, if you knew her background and the darkness that she came from, and now to have audience with the King of Glory and the beauty of God's presence around her life, she's liable to do anything as just some emotional explosion because there's rejoicing in her. There is... Something has been renewed and repaired and restored in all of those years of drugs. I remember when in Nashville, she came to me and she said, I'll just make the long story short. She had given her heart to the Lord, but she couldn't quit drinking. She was an alcoholic and she would just stand and worship and weep before the Lord. And it finally came to the place that she was just going to have to get help. And so when she signed herself into one of those rehab places, she called, she was traveling with Reba McIntyre's background singer at that time. And she called Reba and said, Reba, I know I'm leaving you in a mess here, but I cannot go. I've got to get help. I'm going to die. And she was dying. If she doesn't get some kind of help to get her away from the drugs and to get her away from this stuff. And so she called Reba and said, I won't be going on this trip. And so she didn't. She went and checked herself in. And the next day, Reba's plane crashed, if you remember all that in the news. So now she just the weightiness of the enemy trying to rob this life of everything possible it could be robbed of. And I don't want to spend the morning giving her testimony. I'm just here to tell you, people go through some crazy stuff. And then their identities start to be aligned with the horrors of what the enemy has done and robbing them of their destiny and stuff. And then there comes a place where fear has to yield. Because it ain't about the enemy coming to steal, kill, and destroy anymore. There's something about we have been redeemed. We have been renewed. We have been repaired. We have been restored. Now we are righteous. We are rightly related to this God of love and this God of wonder and this God that can cause you to fulfill your destiny based upon who you really are and who He says you are. That's the God that we've got to sing the song to and through. He wants to sing a song through you. Look at verse 4. It says, for the word of the Lord is right. That's the one we got to get a hold of. the word of God toward your life. What God, who God says you are, that's the song you got to sing. And all his work is done in truth. And that truth won't set you free. We say that all the time. You shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. It will not. It doesn't even say that in John 8. It says you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. There's a difference. Make implies a process. Set implies that it's done. Well, no, it's a constant responding and rising above your own identity crisis and your own fears and your own misdirected seasons in your life. It's just getting real and walking this thing out in truth and saying, you know what, I messed up. I did this or I did that. But there is a God of righteousness that I'm going to be renewed and repaired and restored to now. Because he is not limited to my understanding of my identity. I'm going to get past all of that stuff and I'm going to praise the one who is the God of righteousness, who's a God of truth, who has the ability to make me free. And it begins with getting my praise and worship stirred up to the point that he is my song. If we could get a hold of the fullness of that reality right there, it'll not only change your song, you'll carry a song that sets others free. Into whole new experiences with God. And then he'll make them become free. Okay? Well, what I've believed and spoken over my life has not always been what God believes and says about me. When you come into agreement with what the enemy says, that's what your song will be. When you come into agreement with what God says, that's what your song will become. You know, everything has a frequency. Every sound is a frequency. Every sound has a frequency. Every spoken word or every song has a frequency. You can make a sound low enough as far as frequency of waves. We hear between 20 and 20,000 hertz. Above that is ultrasonic. Above, high, ultrasonic. Higher than you can hear. Below is subsonic. But we hear about 20 to 20,000. You can move matter with sound. We had a tone generator in here with an Electrovoice 30W like these sub speakers right here. You can take subs and a tone generator and generate a tone low enough it'll move this building off its foundation. And it's lower than you can hear. But the power of sound is an amazing force. You can, I could lay one of these speakers on his back, put a piece of paper over it, and I could put sand or chalk or graphite on that, and I could speak into that, and the vibration, the sound of my voice would vibrate, and that chalk or dirt would start moving and create different patterns and forms. Right? This whole process is called the Chladni principle. You can see this. If you want to Google or YouTube, and you can see these Chladni, because there's scientists who discovered this. But it's also, you can take, if I could speak pure Hebrew, the Hebrew alphabet, and as I would say those Hebrew alphabet, those letters would form into the Hebrew alphabet, that dust or dirt would. It's kind of an amazing thing when you think about it. But now, if you can imagine the voice of God speaking with such authority and depth that you can speak into a bucket of sand and you can watch little creeks and rivers and stuff form because of the sound of your voice is resonating and it's vibrating and changing the form. There's particular notes and frequencies, for example, that you can fire into that sand and it will form a perfect Celtic cross. You know, the whole Celtic knot patterns. It's because the power of sound has the ability to formulate. The power of sound has the ability to shape. Everything has a sound or a frequency. Every spoken word has a song or a frequency. You can actually release you ever been sitting in a place like this and when those bass cabinets kick in, you feel it in your heart? You feel your body responding to the frequencies, these invisible sound waves that are coming through the room. Matter of fact, you'd just be sitting there, you know, or praising or whatever, and all of a sudden start moving the hair on your leg, you know. And not you ladies, I'm talking about the guys here. But you can feel the impact of the sound. You can feel it sometimes vibrate your hair or feel it in your organs, in your chest. You can feel your heart responding. One of the reasons is because the low frequencies cause a response in the circulatory, where high frequencies cause a response in the nervous system. That's why you scratch on a chalkboard, and man, it just freaks out your nerves. It gets on your nerves. Well, everything has a sound or a frequency. You can move objects with sound. That sand will move and rearrange into different formations. What is that really telling us? That tells us that singing can move the earth. When God sung, when God spoke, and the angels sang, when heaven released, the sound of heaven is what created the earth. Sound waves are invisible. So when you are speaking or singing, waves are going into the atmosphere. They're changing and rearranging and creating in the atmosphere. So what does that tell us? That tells us that singing can move the heavens. And also, we ought to be getting the idea is what is the song that we have been given? When God speaks to us in prophecy, when he speaks to you or in any way, he's not just speaking or saying what will be as in predicting, but he is creating what will be when he speaks into your life. Because when he speaks into your life and you respond, you are being renewed, reshaped, repaired, and restored because you're hearing the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord is truth and it's right, and it's aligning you with your identity, it's aligning you with your destiny, and it's declaring your purpose, and all the devils in hell can't stop it as long as you're a praising, responsive person. But if, guess what? If you're caught if you're caught in some sense of shame, shame will be a thief to your identity. I think I shared this with you last time I was here, but you ever get up in the morning and you got some stupid song on your head you can't get off? You get up in the morning, you wake up, come wide awake, and all of a sudden you're saying, don't tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart, that and doodle, doodle, doodle. You just want to jump up and get you a mullet and start dancing around all over the... And you'll sing this crazy, achy, breaky heart. You'll sing it till 8 o'clock. You'll sing it till 10 o'clock. It's 11 o'clock. Now it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're still walking around, don't tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart. And it's just horrible. You just can't get to... Another one. There's others like zippity doo da, zippity hey, my oh my, what a wonderful day, plenty of sunshine going my, and you zippity doo da, zip, and you think after a while, you think, what in the world is a zippity, much less a doo da? I don't want to sing this stupid song anymore, but you can't get rid of it. Anybody ever done that? Or another one is la. La 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 la, hey, hey, do 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 do, la 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 la. And you just, whoo, good. You know, the only way to stop singing the stupid song is sing a new song, because new songs break old cycles. And these old cycles of identity and old cycles of discouragement, old cycles of despair and depression that creep in because you start looking at this world to determine what your future is going to be, you're in a mess. Hey, how many of us already know, guys, you worked 40 years for a factory. We're living in a time right now, you gave 40 years to a factory, and you get at the end of 40 years, you don't get the watch. How many of you built careers around real estate? And for the first time in the history of humanity, real estate, land upside down. Joblessness and economic structure, and we got more and more 24/7 on 250 channels prophesying and telling us what kind of trouble we're in. And then let's just wrap a great big old political campaign with all its truths right into the mix. It don't take but just a minute to feel a little discouraged. And I don't know, you know, politics, that's poly is many and ticks is bloodsuckers. So you got many bloodsuckers. Now that's Southern Hebrew right there. But it just, my point is, it just don't take long to get discouraged about the probability of things getting worse or looking real good. But then all of a sudden, in the middle of that, you start singing the song that he says about you. And what he says right there, it says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth." That's a good idea right there. And when you get stuck in some song in your head and in your heart, and you can't get it out, you just turn around and start singing the song that he says about you, and it'll break those old cycles right off of your life. And evidently David knew that. Evidently David knew that because he was the ultimate blues singer. He would get up in the morning and, "Oh Lord, my enemies are out to get me." And he'd all depressed. He was hypersensitive anyway. And he'd just get up in the morning just moaning and groaning, "My enemies are out to get me. They're going to kill me. And, the whole world is against me. And I don't know if we're going to make it. I would just throw myself at the ground, but I know I'd miss." And then right in the middle, and then he would say, "But my enemies are out to get me, but I will praise the Lord my God, who is worthy to be praised," and da 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 da. And he would turn those blues. Everything was in a 6 minor, and all of a sudden it would resolve into the 1, and there was this release of joy. And now he says, "I'll tell you what, let's just rejoice in the Lord. Just screech and holler and squall and scream. Let the sound of who you really are come forward. Without the fear and the bondage and the limitations of man's expectation, your identity was never made to be accepted by man anyway. Go ahead and live outside the box and see the beauty of the presence of the Lord outside. This crazy thing is constantly trying to invade our thought processes. Look somewhere else. Look to Him. Find out who you really are, and you'll find out that the creativity of praise and worship will start to flow out of your life." And you'll say, "But wait a minute, I'm not creative." Well, you just lied to yourself one more time. You are creative. You may not be an artist, but you're still creative because the Creator created you to be creative. You hear it from people all the time, business people and pastors and even some musicians say, "I'm just not creative." Well, there's at least some creativity in us all. And there's hidden creative genius in everybody. And when I say we're all creative, I'm not implying that we're all artistic, because that's not the case. If that's what people mean when they tell you that they're not creative, then they're probably right. But being artistic is only one form of creativity. Creativity, at least by one definition, is the simple ability to create ideas. To put it another way, creativity is the ability to produce options through your thought processes. So you got options. You don't have to listen to the devil's mouth telling you who you are. Poverty will try to force you to embrace your limitations. "I'll never be able to do this. I'll never do it." Listen, guys. I come from 7 generations of redneck non-achievers. I know what I'm talking about. And everything was negative. I watched my granny die in the middle of a dirt road trying to get to a storm cellar. She died of fear. And all of us youngins standing in the circle watched granny die, running from a spring shower because she knew that the storms would kill you. She died of a heart attack because of fear. And we'd sit in the storm cellar. I remember once we get in there, Granny had sat on one. It was just one plank in there, total pitch dark, pitch black. On this end, Granny would sit down there. My brother Junior would sit by her. I'd lean against him, and my sister, cousin Marty, and cousin Delbert, and on down the line. And on the other end, sitting in total darkness. Granny had already. She'd always bring a little bit of cornbread and some pinto beans, cornbread and wax paper in the sack. She had a little old flashlight, but we didn't want to use it because we couldn't afford more batteries. But in an emergency, she was equipped for all emergencies. Because inside in her brassiere strap, she had a bunch of safety pins, a whole string of them about that long. And we never did know what they was for, but we figured if an emergency ever comes up, Granny's equipped, because she always made sure that she had all these safety pins. Grandpa was fully equipped for anything that might come against us, because he's sitting on the other end with a flashlight, and we turned it on. We'd sit there in total pitch black, dark, couldn't see anything, and about every 30 minutes, Grandpa would turn on the light to look for snakes, and he was sitting there with a big old chopping axe in his hand. And then he'd turn the thing back off. For another 30 minutes, we'd sit there in the pitch black dark. And everything that was outside of our world was out to get us. And we'd be playing in the front yard, and we'd hear gravel popping under the tires of a car coming down the road, and we'd run behind the house and hide because we didn't know what the outside world would do to us. Everything was depression. Everything was fear. Everything was lost. There was absolutely no hope whatsoever. We lived in a world of, I'd throw myself at the ground, but I know I'd miss. 13 of us in a two-room house. And I fully understand that poverty means limited options. When you're wealthy, it just means you got a lot more options. We have some options. We don't have to listen to the darkness that the enemy has caught us in. We don't have to live fear-driven lives. They will always alter your destiny. Shame and hope. The remedy of shame is hope. The remedy of fear is love. And the remedy of discouragement is faith. And faith is nothing more than agreeing what God says about you, and you sing the song that He put in you. And live the life that He's called you to and created you for. And it begins foundationally in being one that praises Him with all of your heart. And you don't allow your past to control your future. You don't allow your failures to control your future. And you understand that, you know what? I have options. You know, there are folks in here this morning that you are not walking out your destiny. You're not walking the fullness of your identity. And it's just because the enemy is using yesterday against you. It don't matter where you came from. You let that just be a part of the journey that in many ways forms and shapes who you are as you're in that. So seasons of your journey. But then there's got to be those seasons of breakthrough where you come in and where you come into that renewing and repairing and restoring and taking the hurt and the pain of everything that the enemy was able to do in your past. You step up into your new day and you become that song. You become that sound. You become that invading sound that now releases truth. That's the song that you were born to sing. If your past is controlling your future, you don't have a future. You're going to keep regurgitating your past. But it's time for old cycles to be broken. It's time for a new song to be sung. And sometimes it's as simple as the simple simplicity of a yes that brings you into your new day. It's not time to listen to the news media. And it's not time to listen to what the world is saying is going to be the result of all of this. I'll tell you the result of all this. The result of all of this is a glorious and wondrous God who is more than able to give you more options than you can shake a stick at. So if you feel like you're trapped against the wall somewhere in shame and you can't, I'm telling you there's options. And you know what? Right now in this room, right now with every head raised and every eye open and everybody looking around, we're going to give opportunity to respond to the Lord in this right now. And if you're so ashamed of it, you don't want anybody to know, it won't last you until you get to your truck anyway. So we're going to do it eyes open. And if you respond to the Lord this morning, every person in this room is going to see you and they're going to know that you did. And it does not matter one iota what you are responding about or for. It's not about your past. It's about a new day with a new sound and a new song and a new grace for your new season. All right? There are people in here right now that will say, you know what? I am not walking with the Lord. At one time, I walked with the Lord. I've tried and I failed so many times, the shame just doesn't even allow me anymore to even try again. Because I've got issues of weakness in my life that keep me from being everything. Listen, you can wrap it up around anything you want to. Yes, we know that we're frail. We're human and we have weaknesses. But your weaknesses are not supposed to control your future. And so this morning, right now, if you'll say, you know what, I've tried and I failed every time. And I've had things that I just can't do myself. And you know, I don't need some churchy something to happen in my life, but I need Jesus to help me into my new day. See, if you get real with God, God will get real with you. And you say, I just need the grace of God applied to my life today to help me get into my new day. Now, grace is not unmerited favor alone. Grace is a divine infusion of God's enablement in your life to see to it that you fulfill your destiny and all the devils in hell cannot stop it. That's grace. And you need the grace of God this morning to be infused into your life in a way that enables you to step into your new day. Right where you are, I just want you to raise your hand and I'm going to pray for you. God bless you and you. God bless you that are being honest with the Lord this morning. Everybody look at the hands. And just, and in your heart right now, rejoice. There's new days, new sounds, new songs. Renewing, rebuilding, repairing stuff that the enemy has robbed us of. You know, we got all tangled up in trying to make this thing called life work. And sometimes it just don't. And then there comes those times we come back to a holy and pure, honest dependence upon the Lord and embrace His truth again. And that shifts us into the new day. And if you're needing a new day, today's your day. Now, right now, is anybody here say, you know what? I've never given my heart to Jesus. I've never gotten saved. I don't think I know Jesus. But today, I want to give my heart to Him. I want to become born again. And I don't just need a church thing, nice buildings and nice people doing nice things. I need God to do something that only God can do. I need Him to save me from my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness and put me in the kingdom today. I want you to just raise your hand right where you are. God bless you. God bless you back there. Anybody else? God bless you, sir. Anybody else? I want to know Jesus. I've been around church and stuff, or maybe I've never been around church stuff. But either it don't matter. Today, I want to know Jesus as my Savior. Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you right where you are. Anybody else? Now, last thing. Is there anybody here that will say, I just can't do it. I've tried too hard and failed too much. I can't do it on my own. I just need a new day now in Jesus. I don't want to keep struggling with the things that I'm struggling with. I want to leave them at this altar today and walk away with a new song. I don't want to keep, even though I'm walking with the Lord, I need a new beginning. If that's you, I want you to just raise your hand. God bless y'all. Now, every person in this room, let's just pray this prayer together. We don't have to give a, you don't have to come forward. We're not going to play soft music to appeal to your emotions or anything. We're not going to have a deliverance thing and get everybody in the back room and hold hands in a circle and somebody throw up in a sack. You know, these are people in this room making real deliberate decisions to step into their real new day. It's honest, it's open, and you mean it from your heart, and God means it from His, and He's meeting you in this room right now. So, Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your grace to our lives. I'll tell you, let's all pray this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of every sin. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Make me a new creature. Renew. Rebuild. Repair, restore, refresh my relationship with You this day. I commit my future to You. I give my heart to You wholly. I am now a rejoicing, radical, praising, worshiping, glorifying machine. I have a new identity. I have new purpose. I have new destiny. It's all fresh and alive in my heart today because I agree with what you say, not what my enemy has said. And at times, I've been my own worst enemy. But that no longer. Now I thank you, Lord, for your grace. I bless you in Jesus' name. I praise you. I honor you. I bless you. I glorify you. Let's just begin to praise him now. We praise you, Lord. We glorify your name now. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you. Well, always a lot of fun being with y'all. Got to give you the news, the big report. Ramey and Brian had a little boy named Guthrie. And Guthrie is 1 year old right now. And I called all my scientist friends and told them, listen, y'all, call off the hunt. I have found the center of the universe. And his name is Guthrie Whalen. And y'all get on Facebook and look at him. He's awesome.
Amen. Well, before we leave, when Ray agreed to come here, there was no set fee or anything. And I really appreciate who he is. This is his third time being here at Elkhart in Michiana. And he's the real deal. He loves the Lord, and he always brings a lot of life with him. And we get so much by him being in our presence. So we're going to take up an offering for him. And I just ask that you would really understand that when you're sowing into his life, it's an opportunity for you. We need to really view things that way. When we are able to give and to sow, it's an opportunity for us to sow into good soil that is proclaiming truth all over the world. I mean, he's teaching people in right now in, where's the places that you are? I know you're in Ireland, in Oregon, and but it's just amazing. And of course, when you experience his daughter, when she worships before the Lord and what it brings. So let's just take a moment and pray. And if we can just sow into his life and into the work of the kingdom. Lord, we do not take this lightly, and we thank you that you bring messengers carrying your heart into our midst. So, Lord, we want to be able to sow into his life, into his family, and that his voice would continue to cry out for the identity of the body of Christ to be found in that place of praise and worship and singing their song. So bless this offering for our brother and his family in Jesus' name. Amen. Testify about something. When I was at the Zechariah seminar in Kansas City, I knew that the Lord was calling me to go with Ray and some others on 12-12-12 of this year to Israel. But I didn't know how it was going to happen, and I hadn't really talked to many people about it. So I mentioned it yesterday. And of course, to fly out there and to be able to stay and it's not cheap, and it was around $3,300, wasn't it? Well, this morning, just from yesterday morning till now, because of what's been promised and what's been given, I'm at $3,260 right now. So when the Lord wants you to do something, he confirms it quickly. And I want to just say to brothers and sisters, thank you so much for believing and sowing into my life that I'd be able. I've never been to Israel before, and I know the Lord has a purpose for me to be there with Ray and the group. So thank you. God bless you.
He is just me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I am unaware of His afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful You are, and how great Your afflictions are.